Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 25. Ephesians 5, verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We just pray your blessing upon us this evening and the time that we have. You would help us to understand more fully the different disciplines you've laid out in your scripture as we seek to be transformed into your image. Lord, just help us to seek after you as we ought. And just bless us this evening, both here in this service and at Caleb Village as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And as we've been seeing in the previous messages, we've been dealing with disciplines of a deeper spiritual life. We recognize that God's desire and goal for each of us individually is our sanctification, where he is setting us apart from the world unto himself, so that we are met for his use, so that we are prepared for every good work. That he is the one that does the sanctifying, that it is much his work as our justification upon salvation is, and it is as much his work as our glorification will one be in the future, when we will be transformed with brand new bodies, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But we do realize that we do have a part to play in our sanctification, and that is to discipline ourselves so that we provide the ideal growing conditions for the seed that he has planted within us to bear fruit. That we do the watering, the weeding, the fertilizing in a sense, but he's the one that brings the increase. And as we are studying the concept of sanctification, we must recognize the primary means by which God sanctifies us. And we see that in this passage here, that it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it, speaking of the church, with the washing of water by the word. That it is the word that he uses. It's a word that is essential. That is, he is sanctifying us, sanctifying his idea of setting us apart, preparing us for a holy calling, consecrating us for service. And the idea of cleansing us as well, as we think that there's we're saved out of a life of this present evil world, and there's so much filth of the world that permeates our actions, permeates our thoughts, and the Lord wants us to use his word to cleanse us, to wash us of that. We see in John 17, verse 17, that he prayed unto the Father. He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And so we realize that the word is essential. We are naturally conformed to the world and to its thinking. And much of the world's thinking is based on deceptions of and lies of the devil. That we can essentially make assumptions and we can act in a certain way because we're following a false way of thinking, whether it might be our view of God, our view of sin, our view of ourselves. But Jesus said that when we know the truth shall make us free. That we think in many different instances, whether it is getting the assurance of salvation from the Word, we read in 1 John 5, verse 13, which says, "These things have I written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." That knowing that truth makes us free from worry and think, well, did I do it right? Am I saved or not? That we can stand upon the foundation of the Word. That if we've done what the Word says, that we can be certain that we're saved. We can think as well of the assurance that we have from God's forgiveness. 1 John 1, 9, where it says, "If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That frees us from guilt, from discouragement, from the thought, well, I failed again. I'm just such a failure, that we look and know God's cleansed us from all of that, that we can start fresh each time. That it isn't something that he's going to bring it up again. And we studied last week regarding thankfulness, that if we learn an appreciation when we have a full understanding of all the blessings God has given us, we understand that truth. That'll free us from struggles with discontentment and lust. We talk about that, of how with Adam and Eve, if they had really looked at what God had given them, all the blessedness within the garden, they would not have listened to the devil's lies of saying, oh, well, there's this one tree that you can't have that God's depriving you, where really God's given them an abundance. And so it's, if we know the truth, it'll make us free. And so as we read the Word, as we meditate upon it, the Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God. He illuminates our understanding of it, our understanding of God, who He truly is, of ourselves, who we are in our real situation, so that we know the truth and that we can gain true liberty in Christ. That we understand liberty we have in Christ is not a freedom to sin, but a freedom from sin, a freedom to serve God without the encumbrances of sin constantly bogging us down and holding us back. That one by one, by His power, these different sins that so easily beset us, we can learn to lay them aside. That we can run with patience the race that is set before us. And so we want to understand that what the Word is there for us. We read in Psalm 119:105 that it says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path. That in our Christian life, we need direction. We want to know what we are to do in our daily lives. Sometimes we want kind of the big picture of kind of His will for our life, but so often He doesn't give us kind of the whole view at once. He gives us just a little bit ahead, and we need to follow that by faith. But the Word will be a guide to our path, that it's principles that we can live by, and even as the Lord even speaks to us through His Word, that He can show us what He would have us to do for each day, so that we're led well, and we're not led into temptation, but by following His Word that we're led in the paths of righteousness. We see also in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, it says, For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That we think of it where it says that the Word of God is quick. We understand that to mean in terms of being alive. That we could think of it, well, the Word of God, does that mean that it would be fast acting? And it's the fact that it could be fast acting based on our faith, but usually the speed at which we see its progress in our life is usually slowed down by our reluctance to follow it. But it is alive, that it is the living Word, that it's not just a dry old textbook that we can learn just different things from so that we could beat somebody in Bible trivia. It's something that we can study, and it comes alive to us through the Spirit. It brings joy, it brings encouragement, it brings challenge to us. And God wants to speak to us through His Word, that each day He can give us just what we need, that we want to learn to do that, that there's something in there for us, something just for us for each day, for the moment. And if we seek, we shall find. But we see also, it says it's quick and it's powerful. It has the power to change lives, to transform people. It exposes us. It shows us what our needs are. We see that it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, that it can make things plain in our lives that we never saw before. It can show us where we're lacking, and it's for our good, so that we can... It essentially shows us what we need to change, and then it gives us the tools to change it as well. That it shows us how we can be made into Christ's likeness, that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and it's through His Word. And it's something we recognize that's with the Word of God as we read it. Sometimes we don't necessarily like what it exposes, because we as humans tend to prefer the darkness to the light. But when we come to the light, we allow that light to shine in our hearts, we can be forever changed for the better. And that is what the Lord wants to do through His Word. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, it says, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That it's the idea that all of the Scripture is profitable unto it, that it is truth, that it'll help us, it'll equip us for life. We see the four things mentioned there of doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness. That doctrine is essentially truth, what is right, the path to follow. Reproof is the idea of essentially showing us where we're wrong, exposing what is not right. Correction is helping us to see, okay, well, it shows what I haven't done right, and correction is helping me to get right again, to get back on the right path. And then instruction is righteousness, is essentially a teaching of how to stay right, how to stay in the right path. And it's the idea, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect. The idea of perfect being mature, being complete, not lacking in anything, being thoroughly furnished on all good works, that we're complete, that we're whole, that the Lord can use His Word to change us and make us, that we can look at in our own strength, that we're lacking so many things, but as the Word and God using the Word to transform us can furnish us with all those different things. Call in Jeremiah 13, verse 23, it says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? So that it says, so may ye do good that are accustomed to do evil. But it's something that for us to try to do that, to try to make those changes, we can't do it in our power. But the Spirit of God can use the Word of God to transform us into His image. And we want to think of it in this term, that if God uses His Word as a primary means of our sanctification, what is our part? What are we to do in this? And our part is to discipline ourselves so that we get into the Word and that we get the Word into us, that we make it a part of our lives. That if the Word of God essentially is the seed that is to bear fruit in our lives, it's logical the greater the amount of seed that's planted, the greater the crop's going to be. That if we sow to the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Speaks another place, if we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. So the more of the Word that we get, the more of a blessing it will be to us. If we get into the Word so that the Spirit can get the Word into us, it'll make a great difference. And we realize that it doesn't just happen by osmosis. It isn't something that we can kind of hold the Bible on our head and that we're going to be transformed that way. That it doesn't happen by osmosis. We could say it happens by immersion. That thought we read in Ephesians where it might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water by the Word. That there's a lot of this world that we need to wash off and just to be cleansed by it. Let us wash us clean, essentially to soak in the Word, so that the Word can soak into us and transform us. And so there's two areas that I wanted to focus upon this evening on disciplining ourselves in getting into the Word, getting the Word in us. And I hope these can be practical tools that can help each of you in your daily life, because sometimes we read the Scriptures, but we want to get more out of it. We want to have it have an effect upon us. And so first, I want to look at the idea of reading. It says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, it says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That reading the Word of God is a habit of life, that we want to make it part of our lives each day. And it isn't something that we want to do it as speed reading to see, well, how many chapters can I get through in a day? And it's not just a religious exercise that we figure, well, I'll check off this box and that'll kind of make me, I did kind of my thing I was supposed to do as a Christian for the day. That if we do it for that reason, we're doing it for the wrong reason. That we recognize that quantity is good, but quality is important as well. That both are needed, but I think it's valuable to have quality before quantity in our time with the Lord as we study His Word. And it doesn't have to be that, say, we have to finish, say, a certain amount of chapters each time. Sometimes it might just be a few verses that we can look at for the day and meditate upon and think through, that we want to realize that God wants to speak to us through His Word. And if we're in a rush, then we're probably not going to hear Him. And that's why we've kind of been learning different things of disciplines, of learning to be still, of quieting of ourselves, removing distractions, putting ourselves in a position so that if God is going to speak to us, that there's not all these other things that get in the way. And so, in your daily Bible reading time, that it's something that you can pick a passage that the Lord's, whether it's you're going through a book or the Lord's directing you to a certain portion, that you can read the passage over several times, that you can meditate upon it, the idea of rolling it over in your mind. Ask questions. Ask yourself, well, what is God trying to show me? What stands out? What is something in this passage? And maybe I've read it before, but this is something I've never noticed before. That these are things that it helps us to start to, as we mull over it, that we think, well, what truth does this reveal to me that I didn't fully recognize or understand before? What application can I make to my life? That we look at the Scriptures being a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. They say, okay, well, light, what light am I to walk in today? What is it directing me to do? What is there that I need to change to conform myself to what the Word is saying? That if we do this, if we make that more the pattern of our time of reading, that as we do it, certainly I think our quantity might increase, but if we have the quality first, that it's going to make a difference to us, that we want it to have an effect. We want to take the time for the Lord to speak to us through His Word, to allow it to wash over us. That's sometimes just the whole idea of committing something even to memory, that it can help us, that in difficult times or if it's sort of some that the Lord really helped point out to you in the day, that you look at that and say, that's something I need to remember, that's going to help me through the day, help me through the situation. And sometimes we'll find actually that we don't, something sticks in our mind and we don't really know why it sticks, but then what'll happen is something happens that day, and then we'll say, oh, that's why the Lord had that, I needed that for today and I didn't realize it. Then secondly, we want to think about studying the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And studying the Word, we're essentially mining the depths of God's truth, so that we realize that there's so much in there that we want to get into it deeper. And we want to learn to rightly divide the word of truth, to discern truth from error, that we're not carried about with every wind of doctrine, but that we know what is right, we know what is wrong, and on different issues that we can know the full counsel of God on a matter. That sometimes what we tend to do is, as humans, is we tend to want to justify our position, and so we might pick out one scripture and that's kind of what we hang on, but then if we study all of the scripture, we can see, well, there's more to it than what we say, and we might have even misunderstood that one verse that we were hanging on. And so we want to learn and be willing to allow God to show us things more than what we would expect. And there's myriad different ways that we can study. We can study passages verse by verse. We can study certain topics through the Bible, certain words. And it's the idea of searching the scriptures, of even comparing spiritual things with spiritual, that a lot of our Bibles have cross-references that we can see, well, how does this fit with other verses? And sometimes we realize that studying can be intimidating to us. I know even us going through Isaiah, that there's some chapters that I read through it and there's a couple of verses and it's like, I don't know what that means, and trying to know what to say and studying it out, it takes time, and it says in Ecclesiastes 12:12 that much studiness is a weariness to the flesh, but we realize that it's a spiritual exercise. We don't want our flesh to get in the way of us being spiritually blessed, and so we want to learn to take the time to do it. And we don't need to be a scholar to do it. We don't need to know different languages. Honestly, we recognize that there's a lot of different resources available to us in this day that can help us in different things, concordances and other things. But most of all, when we study, we want the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, to guide us into all truth, that we need to rely upon Him more than any other resource. Because we see these resources, we can use them, but we need the Holy Spirit. That if we're relying just on the resources, we realize they're just tools, that it's the Holy Spirit that can open our understanding. And sometimes we can find we can rely on the tools so much that they can actually become a barrier to our understanding, that we can turn to commentaries of men who may or may not have a full understanding of it, and we can start to view scriptures through a filter instead of just letting the scriptures speak for themselves. And so we want to be wise in that, that we want to be challenged, that we don't want to simply have kind of a mindset and just seek to kind of justify our position. We want to come to the full knowledge of the truth. And that's sometimes what I've found different times through my life, that you think you got it all figured out, and then the Lord kind of points out one or two verses, and then it's like, well, shoot, that doesn't fit. And so then you have to kind of think over things again. And that's what we want to do, is that we want to have the Holy Spirit teach us, be willing to learn, come before the Lord, that we don't need to take the Scripture second hand, that we have to receive it from someone else. That's a blessedness, that each of us as believers, the Holy Spirit can teach us and instruct us, and we can learn of Him. And so we want to come before the Lord with the attitude, and it says in Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open now mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." That there's so much that we can find that we never saw before, things that were significant that we'd overlooked, or we just made assumptions about that weren't right. And as we study the Scriptures, we can learn more, and the Lord can use that to change us. But with all of this, we need to recognize the focus of our reading, focus of our studying, our Word, that it's a focus that we can lose all too easily. And it's sad sometimes as Christians, we can spend time kind of around the Word, but then we're never really transformed. It's not having the power in our life that it should. And we want to realize as we read and study the Word that it is a means to an end, not an end in themselves. Just because we read the Word or we study the Word, that does not necessarily make us spiritual. You can fill yourself up with the knowledge of the Word and sadly allow yourself to be puffed up in that knowledge. I've said a few times, I spent 4 years in Bible college, and it took me about the same amount of time to get over it, that it was kind of the thought that I knew so much, that I had all this knowledge, and the Lord really had to kind of show me, well, no, you're just barely scratching the surface. That you might know some different things, aspects about the Scripture, but in terms of life, of terms of interacting with people, in terms of bringing the Word into our life and making it real in our life, making it effective, allowing it to have power in our life, that there's so much more that we need to learn. And that's the thing, that we can be, if we have the wrong attitude, we can be ever learning and never come to the knowledge of the truth. That the idea is we study the Word, the written Word, so that we can know the living Word, that we can have a relationship with the Lord and be strengthened in our relationship with Him so that He can transform us. Recall with John, the apostle, that in later life when he wrote the epistles, he was in Ephesus, he was the last of the apostles that were around at that time, and the main false teachers he was contending with in that time, we understand from history, to be the Gnostics. These ones that had this idea of, they had this secret knowledge of God that no one else had, and they were lifted up in that knowledge. And the contrast was with John, that we think of any apostle that knew Jesus more intimately than any other one. But yet we see his attitude, that he was always so humble. And that's the thing, when we can be puffed up in knowledge, But when we really know the Lord, that all that pride is just going to vanish away, because we realize that he must increase, we must decrease. And so it is not what we know of the Scriptures, but what we do with what we know. That is makes the difference. That we can fill our minds with it, but if it does not become part of our life, then we're not going to be changed. It's not going to have that effect. It says, Psalm 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." That we listen to it, we adhere, we make it a part of our life, that we don't look at it just as a textbook. We don't read it and kind of say, well, boy, that really applies to that person over there. They need to pay attention to that. That we apply it to us, that it becomes part of us. We see in James chapter 1 that we are to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. "For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world." That there needs to be that difference. There needs to be that change, that as we read it, that we see Jesus, who he is. We know we want to be conformed to his image. We see there's such a disconnect between where we are and where he is. And we say, well, Lord, I want that to be part of me. I need you to transform me, to make me different. We realize our need as the Holy Spirit exposes us through his word. And we come before the Lord in prayer and humility, that he'll give us the grace that we can be the Christian that we want to be. And that's the thought, that we would make it a part of our life, that we pray, even as we see in James 2, that we can pray, well, Lord, I want to seek after you. I want to learn to control my tongue. I want to learn to always speak truth, to speak it in love, that we can seek the Lord in that, that these different things the Lord shows us, that humbly we come before the Lord and we allow him to change us. And we see in Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, "Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." That we want the Lord's word to be within us, so that it can manifest itself in and through us. That someone has said that the distance between heaven and hell is only 14 inches. The distance between our head and our heart. And of course, we understand that the heart doesn't do feeling. It's just a pump. It's just an organ. But the principle of that is the idea that so often we can give mental assent to something, that we accept that to be right and true, but we don't put it into practice. And that's the sad thing, is there's many people that hear the word of God, that they accept it to be true. I remember one guy that went to school with, that he understood fully he was a sinner. He knew that Jesus would save him, but he wanted to have a lot of fun. And his plan was, is basically, he hoped that when he died, that he'd have that chance just before he died to ask the Lord to save him. And certainly a dangerous position to put himself in. But that's the thing, that he understood it, but he never made it down to his heart. And that's the sad thing of how close a person can get when they just don't put it into practice. And it can make a difference for us as Christians between a Christian life that is powerless, that is dry, that makes no difference to the world around it, to a Christian life that is full and fresh and alive and makes a difference, is having the Word be a part of us. And so may the Lord help us that we can get into the Word, we allow the Word to get into us, and with a commitment and humility that we surrender our will unto what the Word of God says, so that we would allow God to do in us as he desires to truly transform us into Christ-likeness. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, we just thank you again for your word, and we just pray you would help us to seek to know you better through it, and that we would have the proper focus so that you would be able to truly transform us by your word. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn, number 163. Open my eyes that I may see, number 163.